Please sit down. Well, today we finish our preaching series, as Andy was saying, which has gone alongside the home group series called Faith Pictures. And in this Sunday series, we've been recognizing how the prophets in the Bible and Jesus often communicated God's truth with a well-chosen picture. And so, at the same time, encouraging one another, us, you and me, to try to do the same. Today is also the last Sunday of Val Hindmarsh's ministry amongst us, as next Sunday she is to be ordained at Chester and will be curate of Norbury after that. So today, in a bit, we want to say a big thank you to you, Val. And also reflect. And I think Val's been in this church many years, and 21 of those years she's been a reader here, preaching God's word, leading services, part of the leadership of the churches. We'll say more later, but in this sermon, I wish to reflect on the calling of an ordained minister in the Church of England. I counted up and realized I've been ordained 29 years this week. So I've got lots to reflect on as well. When the Church of England works, it works like this. We ordain people who preach the Bible well, and who practice what they preach in their own life and amongst other people. So we give faithful Bible teachers the most influence in local churches, which gives local churches the best chance to be led in God's ways. Now, vicars can misuse their influence, but when it works well, and churches tend to grow and thrive. So this pattern of ordaining good Bible preachers and practicers is a big reason for the Church of England's vigour for nearly 500 years. So Val's main calling, as she is ordained and starts work at Norbury, is to be faithful to God by preaching and living the plain message of the Bible. It's not an easy calling. And this is shown by our two Bible readings today, Jeremiah 1 and Matthew 20. Jeremiah and Jesus were both given a hard time for being faithful ministers of God's word. Let's look. Maybe you would turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. It's worth turning there because there's just something to notice about the work in the text, even though it is such a short passage. It's on page 776 in the Church Bibles. Page 776. And in the verses previous to verse 11, you can see quite a personal way God calling Jeremiah, and Jeremiah realizing his calling and starting to respond. And then in verse 11 and 12, the two that were read to us, this is God about to launch Jeremiah as his minister of the word. If you like, it's an ordination charge. Remember this, says the Lord. When you preach the word in season and out of season, when you preach and people don't seem to be listening, remember this. Look at an almond tree and remember. So have a look at verse 11 here. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? It's a picture. And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, at this stage, you do well to notice that very little A just at the end of that sentence. After tree, there's a little A. And the thing to do is to look at the bottom, the note at the bottom of the column, and A, it says in the Hebrew, the word for almond tree is shaked. It's not always totally relevant what the notes say at the bottom, but here it is. And then, verse 12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. Well done, got the picture. For I am watching over my word to perform it. And after watching, you see there's a little B. And at the bottom of the column, B says, the Hebrew word for watching is shoked. So can you see there's a word play going on here? Change one vowel slightly and you have a different Hebrew word. So the Lord says, I am watching over my word to perform it. And because God wants Jeremiah to remember this all through his ministry, the Lord says it with a picture, so that every time Jeremiah notices an almond tree, hopefully he'll be reminded, oh yes, God is watching over his word to perform it. So that ought to encourage me, remind me, urge me to preach faithfully and urgently and to continue doing so. So preachers like Jeremiah need the reminder, because when we preach the Bible, it's all too easy to lapse into thinking we're just history teachers or something, but we're not. We preach the word of God, and the Lord is watching for the time to fulfill it. Shoked, God is watching. And when we preach the Bible, it's all too easy to maybe obscure the plain meaning with all sorts of layers of sophisticated camouflage. So we need a straightforward reminder from God that he will follow through on what he says. So he wants it said. Shoked, God is watching. Knowing that God is watching in order to bring his message to fulfillment, being reminded of it, a picture like that, helps us preachers preach more faithfully, more urgently. It helped Jeremiah. He must have felt like giving up at times. He had a hard, hard time. But being reminded every time he saw an almond tree, like a faith picture to encourage his preaching ministry. So reminders like this help us. Help Val, help me, help all on the preaching team here at St. George's and St. Martin's with the reminder that God is watching to follow through on what he's said. So he does want us to say it. Well, there's one faith picture with a particular purpose. Let's look at another faith picture now. This one from Jesus. And it's there in Matthew chapter 20. If you want to turn it up, it's in the New Testament now. Page 22. So this is a bit of a difficult picture for some of us to understand. Indeed, I know that some people find this parable a bit offensive. So it's a challenge, a big challenge for a preacher. Let's try and rise to the challenge. Verse 1 tells us that this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven, like the ones in chapter 13 of Matthew that we had earlier in this series, because it starts, for the kingdom of heaven is like. And then it says, a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So the picture is an employer. And then in verses 1 to 7, it develops the story. And we get the idea that being in God's kingdom is a bit like working in the Lord's vineyard. This is a faith picture. Being a Christian is not just going to church on Sundays or believing that Jesus is Lord and God. It's working in his vineyard as well. Becoming a Christian is becoming a fellow worker with Jesus. Now, it's not our work which gets us to heaven, but working for God is part of following him. And then in verses 8 to 12, there's this issue over the payments for work, which to some of the workers don't seem fair. And that becomes the focus of the picture. Is Jesus fair in verses 8 to 12? Let's just have a look at that and answer that question, because this is a thing that some people find a bit offensive. So, verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Is Jesus fair to his workers? Well, yes, I think he is fair, because he treats them as equals in his kingdom. In fact, that's how the complaint is worded, isn't it? What's the complaint? You've made the later ones equal to us. They obviously don't like being treated as equals. But Jesus is fair because he treats everyone as equals. Sounds a good way for Jesus to be fair, even though some of us might not like it. That is how Jesus is fair. He treats everyone as equals. And the same point is made by the sayings which sandwich the parable. If there's a parable like this that you're wondering what it means, then quite a good thing to do is to see if there is an explanation just before or just after. The context of the parable often helps us understand the meaning of the parable. And you notice what comes before and after this parable, and you realize there is some sort of message being given. So can you see in the last verse of the previous chapter, verse 30 of chapter 19, what does it say? But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And then the last verse after the parable, verse 16 of chapter 20, what does that say? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. It changes the order of it, but can you see there's a pattern there? And it looks to me as though that bookending of the paragraph, of the parable, is helping us understand it. And I think it's the same point being made. First and last are equal. Sometimes Jesus uses a phrase like that to say first and last are swapped places. But here, the meaning seems to be first and last are the same. First, last, no difference. So it points again to the main point of the parable being that first and last are equal as far as Jesus is concerned. There is no pecking order in Jesus' harvest field. Jesus is fair because all are equal with him. And that might be a challenge for those who prefer pecking orders, but Jesus says all are equal. So is Jesus fair? Yes, I think he is. I think that's clear, and it's obviously a clear point of the parable. But then there's the issue, is he unjust? Because some accuse Jesus of being unjust. But he answered that in verse 13. But Jesus replied to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for taking the usual daily wage? So Jesus isn't unjust. He's just. He fulfilled the promise. He kept the agreement. He's not let anyone down. But Jesus doesn't leave it there, because often people who claim that things are unjust really want things to be turned around in their own favor. It's a bid for preference, not just a complaint about justice. So Jesus doesn't leave it there. He examines what's going on with these people. In verse 14, he points out that it's he, Jesus, who chooses to give equally to the first and the last. It's Jesus' choice to treat everyone equally. And Jesus doesn't leave it there. He challenges them. In verse 15, he says, "Have you got a problem with me choosing to be generous with what is mine? Have we got a problem with it? Might it be that we have small-minded pride, which makes us think that we earn our place in God's kingdom, and that others jolly well need to as well? If so, we have got a problem. Jesus is the King of the kingdom, not us. He is the landowner of the vineyard. Our position is, well, we must humble ourselves, recognize that we're called to be workers. Remind ourselves of the reasons to be grateful that we are in the vineyard to start with, called to be fellow workers with him, and recognizing that Jesus has every right to choose to treat everyone equally, and some very generously, because Jesus is like that. Should we have a problem? Isn't it envy, as Jesus suggests? Because Jesus is fair. Jesus is just. Jesus is generous. And Jesus is good. He's a good employer. And those of us who have good employers should realize they should not be taken for granted. There are a lot worse out there. That's the faith picture here, isn't it? Jesus is a good employer who goes out to the marketplace and looks for people who want to join him. He goes out early and finds workers. He goes out at 9 o'clock to invite some more. He goes out at noon to find some more. He goes out at 3 o'clock to invite some more. He goes out at 5 o'clock to invite some more. He's an unusually good employer who wants more and more to be in his employ. And then he goes out in the evening to make sure that they are paid. And he stays to answer their grumbles. What a good employer! That's a picture of Jesus and how he wishes to relate to us. Will you respond to the good employer by working for him in his harvest field? Have you got a problem? Search your heart. And seek to get over it and be a worker for Jesus. Get the picture? Pictures help us remember what's important. Such pictures help us respond to the call of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please help us to remember that you're watching to fulfill your word. And please, Lord, work in us that we might respond as you wish us to respond to your call. Amen.